The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. As we hear from the Word, the Holy Spirit convicts us in our heart of our sins. So let us go unto the throne of heavenly grace, confessing our sins in Jesus' name. Will you pray with me? Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess unto Thee that we are by birth sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved Thee above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy, therefore, to be cast away from Thy presence, if Thou shouldst judge us according to our sins. But Thou hast promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all penitent sinners who turn unto Thee with a living faith, seeking refuge in Thy fatherly compassion and the worth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. We confess to You now our individual sins in silence. Father, You have promised our transgressions Thou wilt not regard, nor impute unto us our sins. Relying upon Thy promise, we constantly beseech Thee to be merciful and gracious unto us. Remember Your covenant to us that You made in Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You've given us by the grace of the waters of baptism to forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. We pray all these for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, we do not come in our own clothing. We do not come bringing our own righteousness before the throne of the Heavenly Father. We come only dressed in the righteousness of our husband, Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all those united to Jesus Christ who are clothed in the wedding clothes He freely gives, God promises that Jesus Christ came, died in your place, and will come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, and you will pass unto eternal life. Believe this and rejoice. As we prepare to hear from God's word read and proclaim, let us go to the Lord and ask for the Spirit's blessing on His word this morning. Will you pray with me? Lord God, who can put in order things confused and out of order, arise and stretch forth thine arm to cast down the pride of such as lift themselves against thee and persecute thy little flock, to the intent that all resistance trodden down, thou mayest be acknowledged the Savior and protector of them all that trust in thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are privileged this day to enter into your holy presence, Father, and we are grateful that you will serve us in teaching us your word and feeding us at table. We pray that your Spirit would open our ears now to hear your word by faith. Open up our hearts to receive it with humility and love. And move us, Lord, that we go forth from this house to serve thee in the world. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon text this morning continues in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, 1 through 13. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want you to begin this morning by imagining that you individually are in an evangelistic situation. You are presenting the good news. You're trying to convert someone to Jesus Christ. And you're presenting the gospel, and they have never heard it before. This is a foreign story to them. They know God, but they have never heard this story before. And this is basically what you say. You say, in the beginning, human beings, mankind, represented by two people, enjoyed a perfect relationship with our Creator and Lord. These two people walked with Him in paradise, in the garden, and they talked to Him directly. He gave them commands, but they broke them. They sinned against Him. And in judgment and the promised punishment, God exiled these two humans out of paradise, out of the garden. They lost perfection. They lost the perfect relationship they had with God. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to make this right again. The Son took on human flesh. He lived a perfect life. He obeyed God, and He died a sinner's death on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. And in so doing, He reconciled us back to a right relationship with God. And we enjoy this relationship beginning the moment He saves us unto eternity. That's the gospel. And the unbeliever responds, wow, that's great. That is a great story. So we're brought back to where we started. Is that what I am to understand? Human beings sin, but because of Jesus, we're brought back to that right relationship? And you respond, well, kind of. The world isn't paradise yet. But we enjoy so many of the blessings that we lost in the beginning. So can you meet with God like we could in the beginning? Yes, well, it's not exactly the same, but we get to meet God in worship. That's why we go to church on Sundays. Wow. So do you get to talk to Him again too? Well, yes. It's called prayer. Just like in the beginning, we talk to God, we get to do that again because of Jesus. Wow. I bet you talk to Him a lot then, right? Not often as I should. Brothers and sisters, how often when we consider our own prayer lives, do we come to the realization, I don't pray as often as I should? How often do we come to this realization, and that leads to real, long-term substantive change? Now, this evangelistic situation which I presented to you is obviously hypothetical. But what kind of testimony do we give others when we tell them the gospel that we've been reconciled to God and we get to talk to Him again. But then we testify that we don't pray as often as we should. Now, this isn't a message to beat us up. This isn't to make us feel guilty about not praying enough. It's an opportunity, as we're confronted by the Word and the Spirit, to repent of bad prayer practices, a lack of talking with your Lord and your husband. And with that, I give you a practical application right off the bat, a challenge to you, a pastoral challenge to the flock. Take a week, just 1 week. Keep track of the minutes you spend in prayer. For some, maybe you spend an abundance of time in prayer. There's an old story of Martin Luther. He said, "I have an especially busy day today. I must spend at least 3 hours in prayer." Maybe that's you. Keep track of the time you spend in prayer. Write it down, literally. And do the same with other activities that fill our day. Work, time with family, less important things like reading the newspaper, watching TV, maybe spending time on the computer. Just do it for a week. Throw Bible reading in there too. And compare how much time do we actually enjoy spending with God in prayer. For some, it may be shocking how little. For others, it may be confirmation that, wow, I do spend a lot of time in prayer. Take that challenge and see. If we truly enjoy the blessing of this restored relationship with God, the one we lost and the one He has graciously given us back in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. The Lord be with you. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what is the sermon about today? Just one word. Not quite. Caleb?
Gospel.
It's always about the gospel. Okay, how about a little more specific? Go ahead, Evan.
Prayer.
Raise your hand if you pray. Okay? All of you do. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if you pray before you eat. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if you pray before you go to bed. Okay. Hands down. Who can raise their hand and give me some ideas for things you pray for? Paige? People. You pray for people. Raise your hand if you pray for people. Maybe people who are sick. Maybe someone's traveling, grandma and grandpa come to visit, or maybe you want to pray for somebody specifically. Okay. Lennox, anything or anybody else you pray for? You pray for food, right? That's a really good prayer, right? Because who blesses us with the food? God. And He gives us life through the food, so we should pray every time we eat. And God says all our food is to be received with thanksgiving. That's prayer. Any other ideas on things or people we pray for? I want to read a little bit from the sermon passage in Luke, what Jesus says about gifts. He says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Okay? Who can raise and tell me, if someone gave you a fish, what would you do with it? I'm hesitant to call on you, but Evan?
Eat it.
Thank you very much. That was the answer I was looking for. You'd eat the fish. Okay? Who can raise their hand and tell me, what would you do with an egg if someone gave you an egg?
Eat it.
Good answer. Raise your hand if you like to eat snakes. Just one of you. Raise your hand if you'd want to eat a scorpion. You guys know what a scorpion is? Okay, it's this little creeping, crawling thing that can sting you with its tail. It's not a good thing to eat. Okay? So would you rather have a fish and an egg to eat or a snake and a scorpion to eat? Raise your hand if you pick the fish and the egg. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if you pick the snake and the scorpion. Nobody. Good. Which is the better present? Lennox? Very good. That's the better present. Now, who can raise their hand and tell me who gives us all of our blessings? God. God. He gives us all of our blessings. And do you think God wants to give us good presents or bad presents? Thumbs up for good, thumbs down for bad. Does he like to give good presents or does he like to give bad presents? Good presents. Very good. Okay, hands down. Let's tie this together for Caleb's sake. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is the greatest present God ever gave us? Jesus. Very good. There's your gospel message, Caleb. He gave us Jesus. Jesus, good present or bad present? Show me with your thumbs. Thumbs up, good. Thumbs down, bad. Jesus, good present or Jesus, bad present? The best present ever. So if he gave us the best present ever, his son, don't you think he wants to give us good presents all the time? Good blessings all the time? So what does he want us to do about that? Lennox? Pray. We pray and we ask him to bless us. Okay, so let's do that now. Let's pray and ask God to bless us. Okay, will you fold hands, close eyes? Please repeat after me.
Father in heaven,
thank you for all our blessings. And thank you for Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to pray to you and to ask you for your love, for your help, and for our blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you did a really good job, and you can head back to your seats. You can head back to your seats. Walk, please. Now, before the children's message, my pastoral challenge is not given to improve your piety. That's not the point. The point isn't to make you holier or to make you stronger Christians. Though if you do pursue a greater prayer life, that is a natural consequence, and that's a good consequence. The reason I offer this challenge today is to bring to our attention how much we currently pray so we would pray more. To assess how much we currently pray, so we would pray more. Why? Because of what God says about prayer. We should pray more because of what God says about prayer. In our sermon passage in Luke 11, God is at the center. And prayer is the means by which we communicate with God. We talk to Him through prayer. In the garden, Adam and Eve spoke directly to God. He came down and walked with them in the cool of the day. And now in this reconciled relationship in the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but in the name of Jesus, clothed in His righteousness. Prayer is how we do this. And Jesus teaches us here there is a right way to pray. There is a right way to pray. Jesus gave his people a model called the Lord's Prayer. And in the model there, in the Lord's Prayer, there are themes that we ought to hit in our prayers to focus them. Because prayer is for the glorification of his name. We should pray that God's name be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. That he would be exalted to the ends of the earth. Jesus commends us to pray for the success of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Jesus wants us to pray that the gospel would spread like wildfire and the nations would be discipled. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should pray for these. And he gives us a structure in the Lord's Prayer that these are the most important things for which we are to pray. But what God reveals about himself in prayer, as I mentioned to the children, is his fatherly generosity. God reveals in prayer his fatherly generosity. We worship a generous God. Our Father loves to bless us. He loves to give gifts to us. And he gave us the greatest gift of all in his Son. That's how generous the Father is. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but generously gave him up for us all, how will he not also in him give us all things? That's how generous our Father is. And Jesus hits this over and over again in this passage. Our Father's good gifts. In the parable, we hear of lending, setting food before others, getting up and giving generously, and the fathers giving good gifts instead of bad gifts. Fish instead of snakes, eggs instead of scorpions. When we pray for these things, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we will shortly, maybe you do this on a regular basis at home, when we pray for these things, consider when we make the petition to God, do we mean it? Is it in our head, is it in our hearts that we actually want God to answer this part of the prayer? When we do it in the worship service, we just bang, 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 go through it. But when we pray it, do we desire it? I want this to happen. I want thy kingdom to come. I want his will to be done. Earnestly. And when we pray for personal stuff, which is good. Okay, we start with what God tells us in the Lord's Prayer, but he also wants us to give the good things that we ask for personally. When we pray for that, do we pray by faith that he will actually deliver? Pray for healing for our brothers and sisters in the church. Pray that Judy Van Dyke Horst would really be healed. That Kim Stroshine's back would really be restored. That our missionary, Dolphin Peters, his kidneys would actually be back full strength again. Pray that Carol Neiman's legs be fully strengthened. She'll never have to use a walker again. Pray for those real things and mean it. Will God answer these prayers? Because Jesus says, ask, and what? You will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. God tells us he will answer. He promises in his word he will answer. Because he loves us. Our Father in heaven loves us. Believe it, brothers and sisters. God loves you. He does not enjoy when we suffer. But he does enjoy when he gives us a good gift. And he gets to watch us enjoy it. Imagine the joy the father feels when a family has a newborn baby. Parents bustling with pride, good pride and love and joy with bags under their eyes. How about the joy of grandparents with a newborn baby? God loves that. He loves to watch little brothers and sisters hold the new baby. It's February. 2 months ago, we had Christmas. Parents, do you enjoy watching your kids rip open the Christmas presents? Grandparents, do you enjoy that? Kids, do you enjoy getting presents? when you're serving dessert and you empty the whipped cream on the dessert? Do you enjoy watching the kids eat that? Or the ice cream cone in the summertime? Now, with all that, considering the way that you give and the joy you feel in giving, the love that you feel for your children, your grandchildren, in giving them presents, and what does Jesus say? And you're evil. You enjoy all that, and you're evil. There's something wrong with your heart, and you enjoy that. And Jesus doesn't say that to chop them down and make them feel bad. He says, you are imperfect, and you enjoy that. There's a little bit of selfishness in you, and you still enjoy that. What do you think the Father feels? He's perfect. There's nothing wrong with Him. If you enjoy it that much in imperfect love, imagine how much the Father enjoys in perfect love, in perfect generosity. He loves giving us gifts perfectly. Now, there's always the follow-up. What if you pray? What if you pray for something and He doesn't answer? What if healing doesn't come? What if your loved one who doesn't know Christ never repents of sin and believes in Him? What if you pray for a job and you don't get it? You don't get the thing you prayed for. He loves giving good gifts. He gives perfectly. There's nothing wrong with His giving. It means He has something better in store. He has a better present in store. We pray for healing from my sickness, pray for reconciliation with a relationship, and we don't get it. Therefore, He gives us B. He gives a better gift. There's something better in store by Him not answering A. This is not to be meant as prosperity gospel. You don't get the new job here. It means He has $1 million for you later. That's not what I'm saying. Remember, He starts with the themes of the Lord's Prayer. So the better gift is something related to Him. Something related to you. Something related to His kingdom. Your relationship with Him and eternal life. Would you rather be cured of your cancer or have eternal life? I don't get healed, but I get to spend eternity with Him. I don't get this job, this great job, all benefits, I'll be lived comfortably the rest of my life. I don't get it, therefore I have to struggle the rest of my life to make ends meet, to pay the bills week to week to week, but I get eternal riches in heaven with Him. Which would you prefer? The immediate meeting of the needs, or the eternal? And because He's generous, Jesus exhorts us to pray more, to pray persistently, to pray like that persistent widow in Luke 18, that God will give you what you ask for. You just have to ask Him more and more often and regularly. So, if you desire the church to be knit together better, to be stronger in our love for one another, and stronger in our service to the community, pray for that. Pray for that more. If you desire for your family to be more faithful in serving and worshiping God, pray for that. Pray for that more. If you desire for your own self to grow in your piety, your holiness, your relationship with God, pray for that more. And pray boldly. Pray that nations will be discipled. Pray that God would grant our nation repentance from our wickedness. Pray forth that in government He would bring forth righteous leaders to lead sacrificially in accord with His word. Pray for our church. Pray for unity and purity both. Pray that we would minister and live by His word. pray that we would convert and disciple our communities for Jesus' sake. I want to stop right there. Think about this. The communities you live in, Castlewood, Esteline, Clear Lake, Cransburg, Goodwin, Watertown, wherever you may live, is that a prayer for you that this community would come to know Jesus Christ, that Jesus would claim lordship over all of it? If it's not, put that in your prayers. Because that's the whole point. The point isn't that you'd be healed from your sickness. The point isn't that you would have a good job. That's not why we're here. We're here that the communities, the state, the nations would be discipled. So that has to be in our regular prayers. And may the Spirit put upon our hearts how we are to do that in faithfulness to God. And finally, pray that God's will be done in our lives and in this church for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.